Well, the magic behind DreamWorks Animation? One answer to that is Jason Schleifer. He's head of character animation for DreamWorks. Jason Schleifer is an animator best known for his work on the Lord of the Rings series, Megamind, and the recently released Mr. Peabody and Sherman, based on the Rocky and Bullwinkle characters. He's been with DreamWorks Animation for 10 years, and so good to have him on our show today. He joins us this morning from Redwood City, California. And Jason, welcome. So good to have you.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's good to be here.
Well, your interest in all this began with a spider when you were a little boy, and just how afraid of the spider you were. How did your mom help you deal with this nightmare spider?
That's right. When I was a very, very young child, I kept having nightmares about spiders, and I couldn't sleep. I'd be waking my parents up all the time. And my mom, in a fit of desperation, decided one night to ask me to draw the spider. So I did, being a child and loving to draw. I sat down, I drew the spider, and then she said, "Now draw yourself killing the spider," which sounds kind of brutal, but, you know, I think she was sleep-deprived and exhausted. And if you ask a kid to do something violent, they're like, "Oh, okay." So I drew myself killing the spider and went back to sleep and didn't have any more nightmares about the spider. So, and it sort of taught me this way that you can basically tell stories through drawing. I was kind of hooked on it from that point on.
So the power of animation came to you at a very early age here, it sounds like.
Yeah, very luckily my mom was was sleep-deprived enough to come up with this idea.
Well, how did you go from drawing pictures of spiders to head of character animation for DreamWorks, Jason?
It's a long and involved story. Basically, I ever since that moment of drawing the spider and learning about narration, I just loved animation, and I loved the idea of telling stories through artwork. And I grew up watching Warner Brothers cartoons, Tex Avery cartoons, and pretty much anything I could consume, you know, Disney and everything. And when I was in university, I very, very much wanted to get into doing 2D animation at Disney, but my illustration skills weren't high enough. So I figured what I would do is get into advertising and do communications and just do artwork that way on the computer. And I had a professor who was fantastic at getting grants for software and hardware and stuff. And she had some software for doing 3D animation. And this was in the art department at UC Santa Barbara. And I saw that the software, and I'd just seen Luxo Jr. a few years earlier, and I thought, you know, this 3D animation is a way that I can get this love that I have for movement and narration. I can do this, but I don't have to rely as heavily on my drafting skills. So I asked her to teach us an animation class, and she said, you know, I don't really know anything about animation, but the company that makes the 3D animation software is just right down the road in downtown Santa Barbara. Why don't you go over there, learn the software, and then come back and help me teach it to the students?
Huh.
And I was like, that is awesome. I would love to do that. So I got to go over to Wayfront, where they were teaching how to use the software, and I hung out with people who worked at Disney and Sony and DreamQuest and a couple of the developers and learned how to use the software, came back, started teaching the students, and through a fit of just being in the right place at the right time with the right skill set, ended up interning at Alias Wayfront while they were coming up with a software program called Maya, which was brand new and was taking the industry by storm. And I had an opportunity to go and travel to all these different studios, teach them how to use the software. And a couple years into that, a small house in New Zealand started working on the film Lord of the Rings, and they needed Maya experts. Huh. So I applied for the job, came in, and it was sort of history.
Off you go. We're visiting with the head of character animation for DreamWorks, Jason Schleifer, and he'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock at the Linda Hall Library, tomorrow evening, actually. This is Wednesday. Tomorrow evening, because you're in California. You have to hurry and get out of here if it was tonight. Linda Hall Library.
I missed my flight.
5109 Cherry Street in Kansas City. Visit lindahall.org for more information. You know, Jason, just from looking at your TED Talks and reading about you, one thing that really struck me about your work was just how much work it is to complete 1 second of film, much less a full-length motion picture. Give us some parameters here, Jason, because I came across your TED Talk last night. You were saying 1 second of film is 24 frames. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so if you look at a movie, what you're really seeing is just an illusion of motion and an illusion of thought with the characters. A second of film is basically 24 individual pictures that go by so fast that your brain sort of takes those individual images and melts them together into creating an illusion of motion.
Wow.
So when we're creating an animated performance, what we're doing is we're trying to find poses and or drawings or pictures that when you play them all together are going to make you think that this character is thinking and moving. And that's very, very time consuming because you imagine every single drawing or every single pose can take, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour to get just exactly right. So we end up doing, each animator ends up creating about 3 to 3.5 seconds of animation in an entire week.
Yeah, I just fell off my chair when I heard you say that. You know, but I thought these days that all this stuff was computerized and you just like push a button and the whole thing happens and I'm figuring out very quickly here. It doesn't work that way, right?
I wish it was that easy. That would be great.
Yeah.
The computer certainly helps. You know, in traditional days when you were doing stuff with hand-drawn animation or even in stop motion, the animator has to literally go in and draw and sculpt every single frame. So it's very, very time-consuming. With the computer, you do get a fantastic assistant where you can create a pose at frame 101, for example, and then create another pose at 120, and the computer will interpolate or sort of automatically create the movement for you between those frames. But the problem is that the computer does it very, very dumbly, to put it bluntly. Like, it basically does a very linear interpolation between those two. So if you have a pose at 101 and a pose at 120, the frame right in the middle is going to be exactly in between those two poses, which creates very uninteresting motion. So what I like to tell students is, yes, they can use the computer to create those in-betweens and to allow them to cheat, but they're still absolutely responsible 100% for what the computer gives you and what you get. So you have to go in and really, really tweak those poses and make sure that they look great.
Well, Jason, so 15, 20 years down the road, do you envision a new day for animation when the computer sort of has this figured out by then?
I think that the computer is definitely going to help out a lot in terms of handling motion that's very repetitive and you know, very, very easy to just like one really great example is for crowd scenes. What we can do now is we can create sort of repeatable actions for different characters that are in a crowd.
Yeah.
And we can say, okay, here's a walk, here's a run, here is a sidestep, here's a stand. And we can animate those very specific actions. And then the computer can figure out how to propagate those over crowds of 60,000 people. So in that case, it's extremely useful and very, very helpful and actually allows us to go a lot faster than if we had to draw, you know, 60,000 people all reacting independently. However, when it comes down to the final performance of a character and bringing across an emotion, what we try and do very, very hard is get very specific reactions and specific actions for the particular character on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes the audience fall in love with these characters and connect with them and believe they're real. You know, Mr. Peabody is going to react to any given situation very differently than Sherman will. Even just the way that they stand in the scene and the way that they relate to the people around them, very subtle things like body posture, eye direction, the way they hold their shoulders, the way they move their mouths, those are so specific and unique. I find it hard to believe that at some point the computer will be able to do all of it for you. It's certainly going to get better and faster, and we'll have much more accurate simulation. But I think down to the very, very, you know, creating the core of the character, I think that's still got to be done by an artist or an actor or somebody who makes a particular decision about the way the character's going to react.
Yeah, you know, whenever I think about, you know, motion pictures, you always get this sense that directors, you know, shoot lots of scenes, lots of stuff that doesn't make the final cut. But when I hear you, Jason, talk about this idea of it takes one animator an entire week to make 3.5 seconds of film, am I guessing right that, you know, maybe unlike a traditional movie director using real life actors, I mean, you don't have the luxury of looking at that 3.5 seconds a few months later and saying, nah, we're not going to use that 10 minutes because that's so much work going out the window, or am I wrong about that?
Well, that's a good point. We actually do let these movies sort of evolve over time. That's one of the reasons why it takes us, you know, 1.5 to 3 years to create a movie. We want to create the absolute best performance and make the best choices that we can. So we have a couple of things that we do that allow us to not commit to a performance immediately. for example, if we were to go in and get a launch from a director and he says, okay, in this shot, I want Sherman to run across the stage and or run across the scene, pick up this cup and run back. And we say, okay, great. And we go and we spend 3 weeks working on that and then show it to him. And he goes, oh, no, he's supposed to run over this direction and then pick it up with his other hand.
Yeah.
That's a complete amount of rework. And we wouldn't want to do that. So what we do is we do a lot of shorthand in the beginning to make sure that the animator has a very, very clear idea of what the director wants. And we'll do things like shoot video reference. We'll do thumbnails. We'll do very, very rough staging, almost like on a live-action set where the director and the cinematographer will sit with the actor and say, okay, you're going to stand over here, and then you're going to stand over here, and you're going to stand over here, and these are your marks, and the actor will know where they need to go. We'll do the same thing with the characters where we tell the director, okay, here is a storytelling pose of what's happening in the beginning of the sequence because Sherman is going to be running in from screen left, and he's going to start with his right leg facing forward. Then in the middle of the sequence, when he reaches his mark at the table to pick up the cup, this is the kind of pose I'm thinking about because I want him to be energetic and excited. And then when he runs off, he's going to run off screen left again, except this time it's going to be a little bit further back in screen so we get some dynamic depth. And we'll just do that very, very quickly. We could probably turn something around like that in about a day and then get the director's thoughts, get his notes, and then we'll just keep iterating that way so that we never go off and spend 3 to 4 weeks animating something that we then have to redo.
So planning ahead of time is clearly crucial in what you do.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of a fun time. It's sort of the moment when we get to ad-lib and try as many ideas as possible. The other way we do it is video reference, which is a blast because the animators in general are, we're kind of shy. We're not the kind of actors who want to get up in front of the camera. But what we do is we have an acting room here at work, and we've got a ton of props and costumes and things that we can put on. And we'll set up the camera. We'll let the audio for our sequence or our series of shots play. And then we'll just start throwing out performance ideas and act things out and really, really go to town and just try and come up with as many different options for every action as we can. We can usually run through a whole bunch of them in about a half an hour to an hour, and then we'll edit those down, pick our 3 or 4 favorites, and then show those to the director and see if any of that kind of sparks any ideas or if he likes any of those. And if he does, then we've got our basic blocking done. We can just move straight from there.
Again, we're visiting with Jason Schleifer. He's head of character animation for DreamWorks. If you want to join our conversation with Jason, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Or email us to uptodate@kcur.org or tweet us at @KCURUptodate. Again, you can see him tomorrow evening at 7 at Linda Hall Library, 5109 Cherry Street. More information, just visit lindahall.org and you'll get more information about Jason's visit tomorrow night. Jason, you have a saying that moments are important. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that we try very hard to do, Steve, is make sure that the characters connect very sincerely with the audience. And the way that we do that is by focusing on particular moments that they have in the film that speak volumes to who they are as a character. It's all about how that they react and how they handle a situation. There's a scene in Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Have you had a chance to see the movie yet?
I have not, no. I've seen trailers for it, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So hopefully you'll see it this weekend and love it.
Yeah, sounds great.
But there's a moment in the movie where Sherman has done something that's completely out of character for him. And Mr. Peabody asks him about it. He confronts him. And Sherman tells Mr. Peabody why he does it. And it's a moment where Sherman feels really bad about what he's done. But Mr. Peabody has always been a phenomenal father to him, and he's always been there for him, and he's always supported him. So we had a choice when Sherman admits to this thing that he did. We could do what you would normally do when you're ashamed of something that you've done, is you sort of drop your eyes and you try really hard not to make contact. I don't know if you've ever had a child like admit to something and they're just like looking anywhere except at your face.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know you're going to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had that choice for Sherman, but what we really wanted to communicate was that this moment between him and Mr. Peabody is a really great opportunity for us to show that Sherman trusts Mr. Peabody implicitly. Mm-hmm. He knows that Mr. Peabody has got his back and will support him and loves him unconditionally. So at that moment when Sherman admits what he did, he just keeps his eyes right on Mr. Peabody, stares him straight in the eye with this just really open face of like, I am so sorry, and I know that you're upset, but I also know that you are never going to be disappointed in me. And what we did was, instead of Sherman being ashamed, we had Mr. Peabody actually take that on and drop his eyes and realize that this was actually partly his fault. And then he comes back to Sherman, and Sherman's eyes are just right on him, like, Dad, I love you. Dad, you know, I hope you understand. And it was a very, very conscious choice for that moment to really have the audience connect with who these characters are.
Jason Schleifer's latest film is Mr. Peabody and Sherman. It's now open. Let's go to Sean from Gladstone. Sean, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi.
Go ahead, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
My question was, I've read before that whenever you guys hit a roadblock, that you'll watch a Hayao Miyazaki movie for inspiration. So my question was, what kind of inspiration you guys get from Hayao Miyazaki movies, and how often you would use that?
Well, that's a really good question, Sean. Thank you. We'll often look at all sorts of movies for inspiration, depending on wherever it is we're having trouble figuring it out. You know, animation is a very subjective science. It's one of those things where you have to go with your emotion and your gut and just try things. And quite often, you try a lot of things that don't work before you get into something that does work. So we'll watch pretty much anything we can get our hands on if it's going to spark an idea. So I'm not sure specifically which Miyazaki movie we may have looked at in this case, but you know, I've looked at tons of other animated films on just in reference for this film. We looked at a lot of the original source material, and then also we'll watch the actors. When we're actually recording the dialogue, they have what we call a lipstick cam, which aims at the actors' faces, and we can see them perform. So if we're stuck on how to get something to work for a particular shot, we'll often just watch the actors and see if there's any little hint of movement or spark of anything that we can then use as inspiration.
You know, you've also said that moments, we're talking about moments here when you do your animation, that moments have to be very specific. Again, I gather by what you mean there is that a moment has to be clearly about regret, and the example you just were using a few minutes ago with Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and there can't be anything else going on at that moment. Do I have that right?
Yeah, the specific moment is about making sure that every choice that the character makes is really all about them. I gave an example in the TED Talk about Megamind and the two heroic characters that we had in there, or the two superhuman characters, Metro Man and Titan. And the fun thing about them is that they have the exact same bodies, but they have very, very different experiences using those bodies. And they're literally the very, very same geometry except for their heads. So what was great for us is we could say, okay, given this similar physique, Metro Man has grown up with his powers. So what we'll do with every pose that we do with him, we want to make sure that it feels comfortable and confident, and he knows his body. You know, he's lived in it his entire life, and he knows how it works. With Titan, he literally completely changed shape overnight.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a puppy, you know, where their ears are growing and their legs are out of shape or, you know, are too long. They just don't know how to handle their new bodies. So everything is awkward and uncomfortable. So with him, we were able to make the choices that Titan makes very, very specific and unique from the choices that Metro Man makes, even in just how he holds his physicality.
You know, you live animation morning, noon, and night. Do you watch animation for fun, or when you watch it, are you watching it for the plot or to check out some other animator's work, Jason?
All of the above. It's definitely, having been doing this for nearly 18 years, it's definitely difficult to take a step back and just allow a film to overtake me now and really enjoy it. But there are definitely films where I watch and I'm just completely swept away and get, you know, just caught up in the characters and the moments of what I'm watching. You know, How to Train Your Dragon is one of those. I absolutely love it. I could sit down and I'd still cry at the end of it. Tangled is another phenomenal one. Incredibles is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, there's a number of movies out there that just, they just sweep you away. But then again, while I'm being swept away, there's a part of me that's analyzing why that's so successful, and it's really difficult to turn that part of your brain off.
Yeah. You often work on something called high-end polishing. In fact, you're teaching a course on that this summer overseas. What is high-end polishing?
So at the end of a shot, when you're almost done with it, and you're just in that last little bit of trying to basically finish a sequence of animation off, there's all these little tiny things that you can do that'll just elevate your performance to the next level. And these are things that are very natural when somebody's just performing themselves. You know, you have an actor and they naturally breathe. They have little eye darts.
Mm-hmm.
If they grab onto something, the way that their fingers work, you know, naturally connects to things. But in animation, we have to make all that stuff up ourselves. We have to figure out exactly how to pose your fingers so that the flesh squishes just properly. And we have to really analyze eye darts and the way that your lids are going to flick as you move your eyes back and forth, and the way that your flesh is going to overlap. Like if you go to smile, the exact timing of when the corner of your mouth is going to come up and when the muscles around your eyes are going to squeeze together. So the idea with the class is to help teach students how to first schedule their time that they're working on a shot so that there's availability for them at the end of a sequence to be able to do all this polished stuff.
Yeah.
And then to also give them the skills to understand what is necessary to polish a shot. Like, how much detail do you put into the cheeks and into the eyes and all that little detailed fleshy stuff.
Well, again, Jason Schleifer speaks at 7 tomorrow evening at the Linda Hall Library. Visit kcur.org to find out how to get free tickets and for more information about all of our broadcasts. Again, Jason's latest film, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. And hey, what a pleasure, Jason. Thanks for taking some time with us today. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve. This was a great conversation.
You bet. All the best, man.